Psalm 63, would you turn there in your Bibles? And as you do, let me mention that if you are in the area where we live, and the word was mentioned, RVL, that might not ring a bell for you, but around there, most people know what RVL is all about. It's the name of a person, namely Ray Vanderlaan, who's led many, many trips to the Holy Land, a teacher at Holland Christian. And we were privileged to go with him on a journey there quite some years ago now, my wife and I. And then a couple of years later, we went to Asia Minor, a visit of the seven early churches there. And we also had the privilege of Brother Ray Vanderlaan coming to our church and teaching there. I think it was 3 years in a row over the course of many weeks. And that was such an awesome blessing for people, not only in our church, but the wider area. Many, many things that were taught to me have been forgotten, of course, over the years. But I remember vividly his reference to three lands in the Old Testament. Egypt, he says, that was Pharaoh's land. Canaan, that was the people's land. The desert, that was God's land. That was God's classroom, said he, where God sometimes would bring his people there to teach them a lesson about who he was and how deeply he cared for them. And how fully they could trust him, whatever the situation, whatever the need. God did that for Israel as a nation, as it were, leading them into the desert to teach them an important lesson. David did that for David the king. And David does that for you and me in our day. The bulk of the Psalms, maybe you know, they're desert Psalms. Most of them written by David while in the desert. Psalm 63 is one of those. Let me read this psalm. And then we want to learn from David what to do when we may be led into the desert. Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry land and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power, your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouth of liars will be silenced. Heavenly Father, Psalm 63, a psalm quite familiar. We've read it often. But maybe tonight there's someone here, someone we know, who is in a desert, a very unpleasant place. We need the encouragement of this psalm for our lives and for others. So speak to us. In this hour, O God, help us to put aside all of the thoughts of the past week and all the plans we may have for the coming week. And help us to listen carefully to what the Spirit of God has to say to our soul on this night. In Christ's name, amen. Dear people of God, let me say right at the outset that some of the thoughts tonight that I share are rooted in my reading of a book by David Jeremiah. It's entitled A Bend in the Road. David Jeremiah, perhaps you know, well-recognized pastor, Turning Points is broadcast, very large church in California that he's serving. He's in his middle 80s now, but some 35 years ago, suddenly he went in for a physical and he found out he had an issue. He had cancer, lymphoma cancer. Stunning. To Mayo Clinic he went and he had surgery there. They thought they had this issue resolved, and he underwent treatments and so forth, and he was back full-time in ministry, but then some years later, the cancer came back. Back to Mayo went David. Stem cell transplant. Further treatments. That's some 35 years ago. Now he's in remission, doing wonderfully well. But it was so unexpected and so sudden and so painful, that bend in the road. The subtitle to that book is Experiencing God When Your World Caves In. Experiencing God When Your World Caves In. And that can happen. Maybe that's happened to someone hearing my voice tonight, that your world at one time caved in. In the book, he speaks of a person to whom that happened. His name is Steve Garrison. Very successful commercial real estate business in California. But then a slowdown came, a recession. And suddenly, those buildings that were filled with tenants and so wonderfully financially lucrative and productive, those buildings stood empty. No tenants, no buyers. In spite of all of his strong efforts, Steve Garrison's development company faded. It folded. And Steve's words were these: I came to a major bend in the road. And around the bend, I found myself in a spiritual desert. And in that desert, says he, I began to see that my spiritual walk with God had eroded during all my years of success and fruitfulness. Such things as my reputation, the esteem of my colleagues, my net worth, my assets, had become near idols in my life. I didn't even realize I had lifted such things to such a high level of importance. In the desert, when his world caved in, Steve goes on to say, I came to love God once again. I loved him as I had never loved him before. Steve learned to look at life from the perspective of eternity. He learned to praise God for treasures that this world had not given to him, that this world could not take away from him. Enduring ones, said he, eternal ones. Steve's story is the story of many people. Maybe not the particulars, they may vary, but there's that sudden, unexpected bend in the road. And we find ourselves in the desert. And that desert experience is oh so painful. But there are blessings there too, rich blessings. So it was for David, as he wrote Psalm 63. We know early on in his life, he had been called by God to be a leader of God's people, the nation of Israel. There were many tests early on, but David had passed those tests. And now it's midlife, and Israel is thriving. And David's at the height of his power and popularity. All is going well. But then there comes a setback. Sudden, unexpected. David, as it were, got blindsided. Maybe you know. Family problems. A strained relationship with his son Absalom, King David. Embarrassing. A son who makes efforts to take the throne away from his father. He gathers up a group of people to try to uproot his father. Malcontents within the country. You can read about that conspiracy, 2 Samuel 15. Not only the betrayal of his son, public spectacle, but also the betrayal of his most trusted counselor, Ahithophel, his name. The net result is that David must flee Jerusalem. He goes into the desert of Judah to hide, to be safe. And Psalm 63 is written in that desert when David is sad and he's alone. He can hardly believe what has just transpired and happened. His world seemingly has caved in. What does David do? What can we learn from him? If you have that outline before you, note with me first, David's deep desire for God in the desert, his seeking heart, his craving heart. I read again verse 1. Oh God, he says in the desert, you are my God. Earnestly, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The landscape pictures David's present predicament. It's hot and it's dry and it's miserable. David's heart is filled with pain and anguish. He is in deep distress. It's in that moment that David cries out to God. God is all seemingly that he has, the only one he can trust. Might there be someone who feels that way or has felt that way? A certain thing happened that was so cruel, that was so senseless, that was so undeserving, that was so wrong. You were blindsided, as it were, like David of old. And out in the desert, you cry out to God. You cry out to God. I want to suggest that's a wise thing to do, because God hears cries of his children in anguish that come while in the desert. To those who earnestly seek him, God is kind. Psalm 62, written also by David, a song he wanted sung. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 7 again. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. When we're in the desert, it's a wise thing to do what David did, to cry out to God in all of our pain and all of our hurt, to earnestly seek him. A seeking heart. But there's something else that is wise and right to do, something again that David did. I want to continue reading now, verse 2. I read, I have seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power, your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips. My mouth will praise you. Singing lips. You say, that's not easy to do. That is hard. It's almost impossible to sing with praising lips when you're in the desert, when your world has caved in, as it were. What strange counsel. Who could possibly do that? I recognize that's not easy to do. But it can be a good and helpful thing to do when you face a bend in the road, to take out your hymn book. Yes, your hymn book. Open it and to begin singing songs of praise. David Jeremiah says in his book, he says, genuine praise offered stubbornly in the face of adversity makes no sense by any worldly calculation. That's okay, says he. There are some things done that will never really make sense. When we sing God's praises, as David does in Psalm 63, not in response to prosperity, but in the face of adversity, we unleash a victorious power in the world of pain. David Jeremiah puts it this way, we create an environment where miracles happen. God delights in the praises of his people, especially those praises that come from the lips of his children when they're in the desert. Did you notice David praises God with his lips, verse 3, with his hands, verse 4, with his mouth, That's verse 5. He offers praise because he knows that God loves him. And as he says, God's love is better than life, life itself. When I think of someone doing what David was doing, praising God in the face of adversity, I could give many examples, illustrations from years in ministry. Let me go back a moment. The first church I served was in Plainwell, Michigan, not too far from here. There was a dear saint there. She was in a nursing home. Ethel was her name. I remember her still. I went to visit her. Not a pleasant place, not at all. The room was very dingy. There was an odor in that place, not pleasant at all. Ethel was in a wheelchair. She had her leg amputated. She had no husband. She had a son, but he rarely, if ever, came to visit his mother, her only son. And yet, when I would enter the room, there was always that smile, that cheerful greeting. God was so good, so good. We would talk for a bit, and then I would say, Ethel, is there a scripture I can read for you that you would like to have read? And I could still hear, yes, Pastor, there is, the one we read last time. Let's read it again. You know, it's Psalm 107, the one that says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the sons of men. Dear Ethel, a praising heart, a cheerful face in the face of major adversity. I think of a sister in our current church. Happened some years ago, but she got a cancer report. She had a young child at home. She was a school teacher, doing amazingly well. She was in the hospital. She had to have surgery, treatments, a very uncertain future. And I remember on a visit to her, I asked her too, Joy, is there a scripture I could read for you? She says, yes, one of my very favorites. Would you read it, please? Psalm 13, that final verse. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices today in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me, so good to me. Lying in a hospital bed, Butterworth Hospital, with an uncertain tomorrow, she survived. But I want to praise my Lord because he has been so good to me. Singing lips. And I must add one more. My closest friend in ministry, Brother Eric might know him, but it was Lee Koning from the Holland area. We went to high school together. And I don't know, we got close. Our families got close. Our children played together. In fact, we were with his wife on Friday. But Lee died about 7, 8, 9 years ago now of cancer. Suddenly, that cancer report, and it was a struggle and a trial over the course of several years. And he too then lived in the Byron Center area, and I remember visiting him. And Lee, who was so good at so many things and such a picture of strength, he became so frail and so weak. My final visits, I had to bend down just to hear what he was wanting to share with me, his voice, the face so gaunt. But he had a song he wanted sung at his funeral at Le Grave Church. I suspect you've sung it here. The song is entitled 10,000 Reasons. And especially verse 4 he wanted sung. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Amazing. David says, because your love is better than life, My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands, even in the desert. A seeking heart. Praising lips. But David does yet something else that I think is instructive. In the desert, he remembers God. Verse 6. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David fixes his mind, his thought on God. Even in the watches of the night, and that is a very wise thing to do, a good discipline to undertake, especially when we find ourselves in the desert. Lewis Smedes, great author, one of my favorites. He's written a wonderful book about hope, living with hope. And it includes this insight. I'm quoting him now. He's a person who has the habit of hope, also has the habit of remembering. Hope needs memories, says he, like a writer needs notes. If we expect to keep hope alive, we need to keep memories alive. Happy memories of good things we had hoped for that were fulfilled. Grateful memories of bad times that we survived. When we find ourselves in a new desert, it helps to remember how God has helped us in the past. We remember that nothing is happening that is a surprise to Him, that He is fully in control. We remember to trust God's faithfulness. In a new and difficult time, David says, I think of you through the watches of the night because you are and have been my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. Remembering God's past mercies, His earlier faithfulness, is such a wise and good thing to do. To remember. To recall. One more thing. I see it as David's faith assertion, his belief, expressed beginning with verse 9, where he says, those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise Him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. I think David receives what we might call a premonition. How it's going to happen and when it will happen, he cannot be sure. But David has a strong sense that things are going to work out okay in the end. That good will win over evil. God will do it in His own way and in His own time. His enemy will be overcome. And it happens. It happens. Perhaps you know the story written down in 2 Samuel 18. Absalom. Now on the throne. He rides along on that mule at a fast pace. You read there. They go underneath the tree with a low-hanging branch. His hair gets caught in that branch. The mule moves on, leaves Absalom behind. And verse 9 says, he was left hanging between heaven and earth. Between heaven and earth. David's commander, Joab, hears word of that. And he goes and finishes him off with the sword. He brings that report, as you know, to David, thinking David would be overjoyed. But you know, David grieves. Oh, Absalom, my son. Had that been me rather than you, that's what I would have hoped. Absalom. He grieves. But the crisis is over now. and David can return to Jerusalem, to his rightful throne. And that is what he does. Those who seek my life, they're going to be destroyed. They'll be given over to the sword, says he. And it happened. Psalm 73, the psalm writer wrestles, comparing his lot in life to that of the unbeliever, those who are wicked. And he struggles. In some ways, he feels sorry for himself. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem to pay to be a righteous person. But he finally comes to that point where he sees what he has, that those who are opposed to God will never, ever share in. And he concludes saying, those who are far from you, they're going to perish. You will destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it was good to be near God. It is good to be near God. Indeed, dear friend, it is. It is always. But especially in the desert, to be near God. And as Ray Vanderlaan says, you will never find God closer or more dear than when you reach a bend in the road. When you live for a season in the desert. As I said, there could well be someone tonight living in a desert. Or you know someone who is. Or you may arrive there. If and when. In that desert, may you experience the warm embrace of your God. May you come to know just how fully He cares for you. And how fully you can trust Him for your need. The hymn writer says it well. Those who trust Him wholly will find Him wholly true. Amen? Amen. Join me in prayer. Oh God, we are grateful tonight that you are a God, what shall I say, for all seasons, for all situations that may arise in life. Thank you for Psalm 63, for the spiritual truth that when our world may cave in, you will be there with us and there for us. Oh God, help us with David to earnestly seek you always, but especially when we find ourselves in the desert. And may we find, as he did, what an awesome and good God you are to those who put their trust completely in you. Our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.